Having made what I took to be a promising, if unorthodox, start on a social life, I found myself settling into a pattern of daily routines. An early morning jog around Forsyth Park, breakfast at Clary's Drugstore, a late afternoon walk along Bull Street. I learned more about Joe Odom, that at least half a dozen people had come to grief in his most recent real estate development deal, the conversion of an office building into a luxurious apartment house, the Lafayette. Shortly before completing the renovation, Joe hosted a gala dinner dance in the building as a preview party for prospective buyers. 16 of the guests signed up for apartments then and there, and 6 plunked down cash. The new owners were just about to move into the building when events took an unexpected turn. A mortgage company swooped down and repossessed their apartments. How could this happen? The people had paid for their apartments in full. The answer was not long in coming. Joe had defaulted on his construction loan and had never bothered to transfer the deeds to the new owners. At the moment of foreclosure, the apartments were still in his name, and so they were seized as collateral. The rightful owners were forced to go to court to retrieve their apartments. In the aftermath of the Lafayette affair, Joe had found it necessary to supplement his income by playing piano at private parties, and by opening his house to busloads of tourists several days a week at $3 a head as part of a tour package that included lunch in a historic townhouse. The tour companies would send caterers to Joe's house at 11:45 a.m. with platters and tureens of food. The tour buses would pull up at noon. The tourists would walk through the house, eat a buffet lunch, and listen to Joe play a few songs on the piano. Then at 12:45, the tourists would get back on the bus and the caterers would pack up and leave. Laughter and music continued to ring through 16 East Jones Street day and night as it had before. But Joe was merely a rent-paying tenant now. Neither the house nor anything in it belonged to him anymore. The stream of people going in and out of Joe Odom's house seemed to pick up tempo in the weeks after I met him. That might have been because I had joined the flow myself and was now viewing the phenomenon from midstream, so to speak. Currents of activity swirled about the house. People entered and exited rooms, crisscrossing one's field of vision like characters in La Dolce Vita. One evening, Joe led a few friends back to his house, where, according to the fire captain's report later in the day, someone dropped a lighted cigarette into a wastebasket shortly before dawn and caused the fire that nearly gutted the house. Joe was the first to smell the smoke. He ran through the house, rousing people from beds and sofas and herding them into the street. It was widely assumed that Joe Odom had set his house on fire to collect the insurance money, even though he no longer owned the house. Joe's landlords asked him to vacate the premises at once, not so much because of the fire, but because Joe had never paid them any rent. A week later, Joe took what furnishings he could salvage and moved into a large federal-style brick townhouse at 101 East Oglethorpe Avenue, a few blocks away. His new next-door neighbors were Mr. and Mrs. Malcolm Bell. Mr. Bell was the retired chairman of the Savannah Bank, former president of the venerable Oglethorpe Club, and a respected historian. Mrs. Bell was an intellectual and a member of a distinguished Savannah family. In view of his august new neighbors, Joe's friends anticipated that life in his new home might perforce be a bit more modulated than it had been at 16 East Jones Street. And perhaps it was. But before long, neighbors began to notice that visitors were passing through the unlocked front door of 101 East Oglethorpe Avenue in a steady stream, that tour buses were pulling up in front at noontime, and that pleasant piano melodies could be heard spilling out of the house day or night, but especially at times when the city was otherwise utterly still.